today on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
Tonight, they say, the skies in Ukraine, they looked like.
Sure, we love Jesus, but do we like him? Meaning, if he showed up at a church event, would it be like, oh no, Jesus is here?
The last night we prayed for those storytellers, prayed that they be put in the right spot and that many boys and girls will come to know Jesus as their Savior.
It's all coming up on today's episode of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, produced each month to help deepen relationships with those who pray, give, and champion our reach, ensuring that parents, friends, and donors stay informed, inspired, and engaged. Today, three powerful stories of God at work. From Marcellus, Michigan, of all places, how one small vacation Bible school raised enough money to send hundreds of storytellers overseas, possibly reaching 30,000 people for Christ. We also sit down with the voice of Zach on Keys for Kids Radio, Pastor Phil Ayers, author of Flannel Graph Jesus. He helps us rediscover the depth of Jesus' personality and why it matters for our kids as well as us adults. And war continues in Ukraine, and kids are suffering deeply. For 3 years, Keys for Kids devotionals have been distributed throughout the country through Mission Eurasia. The president of Mission Eurasia, Sergey Rakuba, he and I got together at Golic Ministries a few weeks ago.
I want to just get an update. Obviously, we have been partnering together for about, 3 years or so? And I think 600,000 devotions have been printed and given out in Ukraine. But just talk about maybe that first.
Yeah. Greg, first of all, it's great to see you. You know, appreciate the opportunity, you know. So I cannot remember when we started working together, but it's probably more than that, Greg.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think 2000 maybe we started. I think my first interview was like in 2000.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I remember, you know, you walked into my office, you know, so you were pretending you were enjoying interviewing me, but, you know, so as you said later, you had no idea what, you know, so this Russian dude was talking about.
No,
you know, so
that's not true. I think you're embellishing a little bit.
Yeah, but great to see you.
And we have developed a long friendship. My daughter is adopted from Russia, and you've helped us kind of keep her heritage alive, and so that friendship has been deep. And I always tease you like you're my brother from another mother.
Yeah. So it's great to see you, Greg.
Well, likewise.
And you know, it's great to be back here at Golic. It's absolutely amazing place. This week we're talking about the needs in Ukraine, and 1 week is not enough, you know.
No,
so
there is
not many, not enough hours, you know, so to tell what's actually happening there in Ukraine these days. But Ukrainian people suffer more and more. There are more death, more need, you know, so more casualties. As the last couple of nights, you know, so I received updates, you know, on basically daily, on almost hours basis. So they say it was like tonight, they say, the skies in Ukraine, they looked like. And it's hundreds and hundreds of those Iranian-made kamikaze drones. They were just basically covering large cities with their attacks.
Wow.
And there are more death, you know, more casualties, more suffering. That's what's happening in Ukraine today. So there is more fear. There is a lot more uncertainty with all the political talk. You know, Ukrainians, they are afraid that they will get abandoned.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't understand political strategies. They don't understand all these deals or no deals, Greg. You know, so they don't want to be a bargaining chip, you know, on a big map and continue losing people. Ukrainian soldiers, they fight heroically without much support.
Yeah.
What they say, we don't need much food, we need ammunition. And they continue standing strong, you know, defending their communities, defending the front lines and so on. The church in Ukraine, in the midst of all of this, is doing absolutely great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a crisis. It's a spiritual crisis, economical, of course, political crisis, but people lean on their searching for God. And churches are overwhelmed with all the work ministry, which is an opportunity for them. But they need pastors, they need more training, but they need resources, Greg, especially for younger ones. 1/3 of the entire population. There are about, let's say, 40 million people in Ukraine. Lots of refugees, you know, let's go down. But still, 1/3 of the entire population shifted. They're either displaced or refugees.
Yeah.
But almost half of that population of displaced are minors. It's mean children, teenagers. And that those who cannot express their emotions, but they suffer at most because they cannot comprehend completely what's happening, especially younger ones. That's why we as Mission Eurasia, working with our partners, we train volunteer emotion counselors, you know, so to help them to cope with their emotions, you know, and that's why we produce resources, materials, and your materials, those wonderful devotionals, they're so handy. But those devotionals, and if we can come up with something more specially designed so that it would help children to cope with their emotions, with their fear, that can share the story that they see every day, you know, so that the God is in the midst of the crisis. So if you put your hope on Him, you know, so He will remove your fear, you know, He will, give you hope, you know. So
a peace that passes all understanding is what we like to talk about. And I just want you to know, Sergey, that our team is going through and picking out stories right now that can be used in a situation like this. But we're also going to some of our writers and saying, hey, can you please write some additional stories so that we can have a devotional specifically for war victims' children, not just in Ukraine, but that we could use in other areas of the world where this kind of thing is taking place, where kids need hope. And we know that that's happening literally around the world. So let me just ask you this about the devotionals. Obviously, I think over 3 years, I think you guys have handed out over 600,000. And last time you and I chatted, you said, there are no more in the warehouses. There are no more. Talk about that. How does that hamper or hinder the work that you're doing or your people are doing there on the ground?
Yeah. When the war started, we kind of, I don't want to say we were bad prophets, you know, but it didn't look like the war will get over, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, so. And so we started lots of organizations. We were one of them. We started transporting food. You know, we started open warehouses, you know, and started packing thousands and thousands of those food packages and helping refugees or displaced with their housing needs, you know. So,
and you also did fire those, was it furnaces or...
We built thousands of wood burning stoves, you know, so that they could cook on or heat their space. We launched mobile clinics, you know, so they would go into all those most difficult places where healthcare not available at all, you know, for people that got stuck in the midst of those war communities. And mobile kitchens. So we basically kind of redirected all our resources to help people physically or in a more tangible way. But all the time we are serving people spiritually, you know. And the demand for food and demand for spiritual literature, for scripture, is probably on the highest level now.
You're listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. Right now, our Ukrainian devotional project needs $50,000 to print and distribute another 200,000 devotionals to kids in war zones. Every gift makes a difference. To help, just visit keysforkids.org/Ukraine. That's keysforkids.org/Ukraine.
Just recently, we thought we had a lot of resources in our warehouses. You know, we're keeping our inventory. And then all of a sudden, I started getting messages. Wow, the summer is coming, you know, so the bombing was intensified. More people are moving. You know, the need is great. We ran out of all what we had there. So we have warehouses next to almost empty. So we're scrambling, you know, so a couple thousand there and there. So the need for Bibles, the need for children's literature, but those devotions are, it's like a jewel in the midst of all of this, you see. So they prompt discussions, talk. They help to eliminate fear.
If a Keys for Kids donor was sitting across from you right now and they were to ask you, if I were to invest in the Keys for Kids devotionals, is it really needed? Do you really need it, Sergey? Do you really need those things? And persuade me, why should I give? Why should I donate?
If Keys for Kids donor there, that means who believes what Keys for Kids is doing, and you guys are doing absolutely amazing work. You are changing kids' perspective on their future life. And that's the age, you know, so when they're making their decisions, in their faith, you know, to follow Christ. If your donor would just sit across the table like this, I would beg him to possibly consider to support a print. And million copies, Greg, will be dropped in the bucket. If we're talking about Ukraine, Moldova, Poland, where lots of those refugees and displaced Ukrainian people are, quite few organizations possibly can print a Bible. There's nobody who does devotionals for kids in such a creative, strategic, gospel, clear, and simple way to help children through that devotional story to present the gospel. So if your donor would consider, I think a million copies would be just a drop in the bucket still. And the cost, Greg, pennies on a dollar, but the impact is enormous. And we get so many, such a huge feedback, you know, our teams on the ground. So how those devotionals, you know, touch, transform, impact their lives. And we would be so grateful if Keys for Kids or your donors, you know, would consider partnering with us. And we will do the lowest possible price. We will print it in country.
Let me ask you this in closing. There are probably countless prayer requests that we could be praying about Mission Eurasia and people that are on the ground right now. But if you had to pick like your top three, what would those prayer requests be?
Peace for Ukraine. You know, at any cost, you know, so we want it to be a just peace, not the peace Ukraine will lose its nation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A just peace for Ukraine. Ukraine deserves, they fight for this peace. Mm-hmm. And so pray for the church leaders in Ukraine as well.
They're tired, right?
They are exhausted, but they are doing absolutely, they're so courageous. Mm-hmm. And so they continue leading the church and kind of shining. The church is shining like, I know it's a lamp on the top of the hill, you know, in the midst of that, the pile of ashes, you know, Greg. But pray for Ukrainian families, for children. Adults can get used to. Kids, they have fear, but they cannot express. One little story. One of our counselors, she's teaching the volunteer counselors we bring together, and there are lots of capable young volunteer Christians. They want to serve to counsel children, to help them to cope with their emotions, with their fears. Natalia Prostun, her name, she is the top expert Christian counselor in Ukraine, and she tells a story. A huge wave of refugees, displaced families, came from Mariupol when it was taken over by Russians. And they were not sparing bombs, destroying everything they've seen, bombing places where families with kids were gathered, you know, in the shelters and so on. And so she picked up a girl and took him to her family. She knew she had a kind of serious trauma.
Yeah.
And the girl, she was 6 years old, she was not speaking, she could not say her name. Mm. So, and Natalia is an experienced emotion counselor. She was working with her. Her kids were home, so they were embracing her. And a couple weeks, you know, into when they were together, so she offered if the girl will draw a picture.
Hmm.
What's first comes into her mind? And she draws a picture. She draws a picture. It draws a picture of her family. Her dad, her mom, her two older siblings, her dog. And then she starts crossing one figure after another.
Oh.
Everybody's
gone.
Gone. But she cannot talk because she lost that ability. She was so traumatized. And Natalia says, she was shocked because they couldn't figure out what happened to that girl. And so she took her, of course, into her family. And that's when she says, that's when we need a lot of skill. We need a lot of people that in faith, you know, but they can be so loving and sensitive to traumatize children like that. And as much resources as we can provide for National Christians, understanding that the youngest generation is suffering the most. So you asked me about to pray. Pray for this girl. And there are thousands.
Sergey Rakuba, president of Mission Eurasia, on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. You heard Sergey. The need, 1 million devotionals. He said it'd be just a drop in the bucket. And that's why we're raising funds right now to help meet that need. And we're praying God will provide through you. And we're going to start one step at a time. The first goal is to provide 200,000 devotionals by back to school time. $50,000 is the need. So please help with your best gift at keysforkids.org/Ukraine. That's keysforkids.org/Ukraine. Well, you know him as the voice of Zach on Keys for Kids Radio, but Pastor Phil Ayers is also an author. That's right. His book, Flannel Graph Jesus, was written to help readers move beyond a two-dimensional view of Christ. Phil and I talked recently for the Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
I'm with the voice of Zach, Phil Ayers, Pastor Phil Ayers, and Pastor almost said Zach. It's easy to do, right? It's easy to do.
I get confused myself sometimes.
That'd be a problem, I'm sure. Well, we want to talk about a book that you've written. It's been a while since you've written this book, and it's been a while really since I've read it, but we want to promote it in our store at Keys for Kids Ministries, and so we thought, you know what? Who better to talk about the book than the author? And of course, we're talking about the Flannel Graph Jesus book. Now, first of all, when you say Flannel Graph Jesus, why did you call it that book? Okay.
Well, so it's a funny story, actually. First of all, I thought the name Flannel Graph Jesus would be a great name for a band because I used to be a musician.
Okay.
Then I thought, as I was working, I started doing a teaching series at my church called Don't Know Much About Jesus. And that was the title of it because I had talked to a lady after the service, and she was relatively new to church, and we were talking a little bit, and I asked her a little bit about the Bible and a little bit about, you know, her experience spiritually. And she says, you know, I just don't know much about Jesus. And I had this little thing like, okay, I'm going to do a teaching series and I'm going to teach about Jesus. And then it ended up being sort of this idea where, you know, Jesus' personality is far more layered and complicated than sometimes we give him credit for. And the reason why it's called Flannel Graph Jesus is because when I was a kid, and maybe for your listeners out there, it was the same for you, is you had the flannel graph board, or sometimes they called it the felt board, and they would use it to tell Bible stories in Sunday school, and there were these little paper figures of Jesus and the disciples and Old Testament stuff, and they would use those to tell these stories. And in my mind, you know, Jesus was sort of one-dimensional, both literally and figuratively, because, you know, telling the stories about Jesus to children, you tend to simplify some things a little bit. And as I grew up, I never really allowed Jesus to become more of a multidimensional figure with personality and humor and things. So I thought it would be a good name for the book. But as it turns out, at least 50% of Christians I run into have never seen a flannel graph. So
I have to say that our receptionist, who's 20 or in her younger 20s, she said, well, what is flannel graph? I went, look it up. She didn't know what it was either.
I know. I probably should have titled the book something different, but it is what it is, and it gives me an opportunity to sort of tell this story. So,
well, let's talk about that. I mean, let's digest the book a little bit. I mean, obviously, in the first couple of chapters, you kind of introduce this whole concept of, you know, with this two-dimensional Jesus and how, in one part, it said he was kind of radical.
Yeah.
I would say almost a rebel.
against the current culture, obviously not a rebel against Christ, but very on the fringe in terms of what the Sadducees and the Pharisees really thought was quote normative or normal. So digest it. Talk about the different segments of the book.
Yeah, so there's 8 chapters in the book, and each of those was a sermon. And the idea was, let's look at some sides of Jesus' personality that we don't always see. And like, for example, I think the first chapter is, didn't know Jesus was funny. A lot of people don't realize that, because the Jesus that you tend to picture in your mind's eye when you're hearing a sermon, reading the Bible, is sort of the Jesus of TV, the Jesus of your flannel graph stories. He's always very clean. He's always very proper. Sometimes he has an English accent,
depending blonde on hair, blue eyes. Yeah,
exactly. and very serious. You know, now that's changed recently with other things like The Chosen and things. They're giving him some more dimension. But you know, back then it was like that. So I was like, you realize when you look at so many of the stories and when you understand some of the context, and even understand some of the language he used, he actually was pretty funny. And plenty of times when he was speaking with the Pharisees, I mean, he kind of threw some sarcastic, I would suppose, vibes their way. Like he really messed with them, and it was humorous in some situations. But then also, in terms of religion, he was very much rebellious to the religion of that day, which was about control, and which was about obviously trying to keep the law, and being very hypocritical about it.
And money.
Absolutely, yeah. Very rebellious, and his ideas were rebellious to, again, not to God and not even against the law, but to the people who were hypocritical about it. And then there's some other things, like you didn't realize, like Jesus was a brother, like he had siblings, and there's a huge, sometimes we forget about that, you know. The book of James, written by the brother of Jesus, this should inform us a lot about when we're reading the book of James. This is written by the guy who may have shared a bedroom with Jesus. Like, it's amazing to think about that.
Yeah.
And Jesus as a friend, too. So I think I tried to just show some different parts of that so that we can relate to him more as a real person. Because I think I think I say in the book, like, sure, we love Jesus, but do we like him? Meaning, if he showed up at a church event, would it be like, oh, no, Jesus is here. Everybody be careful. Or would it be like, we're so glad to see Jesus? Children and sinners, usually in the Bible, seem to really gravitate toward Jesus more than the religious folks.
Well, and you think about it, too. I mean, who do you gravitate to as a young person? It's usually that charismatic, funny, fun-loving person that actually has some pretty good wisdom. You just want to be with that person.
Yes. If you're in church, let's say, before the service or afterwards, kids aren't running up to the grumpy old guy that's sitting in the, you know, the back row complaining about, you know, something in the service. They're usually, want to talk to the youth pastor. They want to talk to the, you know, the fun guy, the humorous person. So we see children running to Jesus, and that tells us, it has to tell us something about his character, that I think he was the kind of people or the kind of person that kids would want to be around, and also sinners would be willing to invite him to their house, or, you know, to at least hear what he had to say, that there wasn't this air of immediate judgment. There was always truth, of course, but they had a sense of being comfortable with him. So I think that was important, too.
Parenting is hard, but biblical guidance can help. Listen to my daily 60-second radio feature called Parent Minute with Greg Yoder for encouragement at parentminute.org. You can also support Keys for Kids Ministries through your prayers and gifts. Just visit parentminute.org. I'm talking with Phil Ayers, the voice of Zach, your Keys for Kids Connect, and the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, easy for me to say. I guess in closing, Phil, let me just ask you this. What do you hope people, as they purchase the book, as they read the book, as they maybe take notes, as they share it with friends, what's the hope?
Well, I think the hope is that, you know, a lot of people are afraid of God, meaning like they see God as, you know, this character in the sky with a lightning bolt. And as soon as they step out of line, they're busted, you know. And I think people then see Jesus the same way and may even feel like he's out to get them because he did so much for them and they owe him something. I tell this story in the book, but, you know, we all have that friend or two that when we see them calling on the phone, we're like, oh, You know, what's this going to be? Or, oh no, what do they want? But then we all also have friends when we see them, we're like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you called. And the idea is that's the way I think we should see Jesus. And I think that's the way he wants us to see him. He gave his life for us. And when we repent and submit our lives to him and make him Lord, we receive his righteousness. So really, it should be an opportunity for us to go, I'm excited to know you. I want to follow you. I'm not worried that you're upset with me or mad at me. I want to please you, of course. I want to be obedient, but not because I'm worried you're going to reject me or you're going to punish me, but because I already know you love me. So it was an idea of just connecting people to Jesus in a way that made him, I think, more of who he really, really was, and not just this caricature that we may have gotten ourselves used to seeing because of TV or, you know, storybooks and things.
Last thing, favorite chapter of the book?
Well, it's the Jesus is funny. I've gotten the most, positive and negative feedback on that, because some people just like, Jesus can't be funny. That's just not the Jesus I know, right? It just doesn't feel right for some way, for some reason. But if you go in the book and you look, I go through some of these stories where you realize, oh, he actually had quite a bit of humor. And I did run this book, by the way, through my New Testament college professor. I asked him to look over this book just to make sure I wasn't, that I was staying true to, and he confirmed it was. So that's my favorite one, and I think it's the most surprising one for people. And that's why I started with the book. I started it with the book because I think if you could just understand that Jesus is, like, you know, everybody appreciates humor. Everybody likes to laugh, and I think that's definitely a part of who he was. I'm not saying he was a clown, but there were moments where he would engage people in a humorous way, for sure.
Phil Ayers, the voice of Zach on Keys for Kids Radio. He's also a pastor and author of the book Flannel Graph Jesus, here on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Remember, the book is available on the Keys for Kids online store. Just go to shop.keysforkids.org and look for the link. Type podcast and you'll get the discount code. That's podcast when you check out, and you'll get a discount code. Imagine a small church in rural Michigan rallying kids to impact the world 30 times over. Well, Jackie Cripps from Edwards Corners Bible Church led a VBS program this summer and did just that. They didn't just teach scripture either. It inspired kids to give so that other kids and adults could hear the message of the gospel. Jackie, we met because we got a check in the mail from your church, and we could not believe it. Like, the story behind the check is what's kind of amazing. And so I understand that you head up a daily vacation Bible school.
That is correct, yes.
So talk about that. What happened leading up to this check? What did you guys do?
Before vacation Bible school, we wrote our own program. My sons helped me with it, and it was a Christmas theme. Hmm. And we always look for a way to find a ministry that we can use our offering toward. So I began to search, and I'm very familiar with Keys for Kids. My kids grew up with using it for devotional. We used it at our church. And so I started searching. I thought, oh, wait a minute. I think there's a storyteller or something. So I started checking into that, listening to the videos. I'm like, that is the ministry we want our offering to go to. So before I went to Vacation Bible School, I would show them a video from Keys for Kids about the storytellers and how it's being used and how they're affecting other children. And then we'd show the video, then we'd pray, and then we'd take up the offering. And the excitement on the kids were just exciting to see how the kids were excited about the ministry and be able to help kids around the world.
Now, did you also order our Keys for Kids Christmas devotionals too?
We ordered them. So every one of the kids got one of those Christmas devotionals. And then we showed them how to use the audio, encouraged them to use the radio. We just used Keys for Kids throughout the whole week and just told the kids to make sure it's a great tool to be in God's Word every day. And that was our goal. The kids are getting to know God more, be in God's Word, and then be excited about telling others about Jesus across the world as well.
Well, that's awesome. Now, so at the end of the week or during the week, did you collect money? Is that what you did? Or
offering, we had the heaviest offering each night, and we had the most amount at each night. And the first night was like $20, $25. But the second night after we showed that first video, it was amazing how it went up. And then our church people got so excited. Our board decided that they would match whatever the kids brought in. Wow. So then our church matched it. And then when we got done with VBS, we showed a video about the week of EBS, we showed a Keys for Kids video again about where the storytellers, what's going to be, what they're about. And then we still had offerings kept coming in. We want to be a part of this ministry. We want, so, I mean, and people at church are still asking, you know, where are they going to go and what's happening? And have you heard anything? And so I shared last week about how you called and they were so excited. I mean, neat to see the excitement on the kids, but also the adults as well. So.
Isn't that fun to see how like the whole family gets involved when that excitement builds?
Absolutely. And the kids are like, I wonder where they're going to go. And we, the last night we prayed for those storytellers, prayed that they'd be put in the right spot and that many boys and girls will come to know Jesus as their savior. We talked about Jesus being the greatest gift given. And I says, you know, make sure they know Jesus, but also the greatest gift you can give is Jesus. So they were so excited about giving the gift of Jesus around the world.
You're listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. This impact is what Keys for Kids Ministries is all about, helping kids, teens, and families know and follow Jesus. If you'd like free daily devotionals for kids and teens, visit devos.keysforkids.org. And don't forget, Keys for Kids Radio is streaming 24/7 great Christian music at keysforkids.net. Well, I'm talking with Jackie Cripps, and she is the director of the VBS program in Marcellus, Michigan, and raised some significant dollars for Keys for Kids Ministries and our storyteller program. Jackie, how much total were you able to raise?
Over 3,000. I couldn't tell you the exact amount. I don't have it written down. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But over $3,000 you guys contributed to the ministry of Keys for Kids and the Storyteller Program. And we're able to buy those now at about $15 a piece. So if you do the math, that is a significant number of storytellers.
Oh, that's exciting. It just gives me goosebumps.
We just got a video of a couple or of a woman in Afghanistan, and that's where the storytellers will actually be going, is in Afghanistan. And we're super excited to be able to even tell our friends that the money that you guys were able to raise with just, you know, $3,000, you were able to touch 200 storytellers, and the average storyteller reaches 150 people. So that's a lot of people that are actually going to be hearing the message of Jesus Christ because of the work that you guys did. 30,000 people potentially will hear the good news of Jesus because of kids in Marcellus.
That's, praise the Lord. That's so exciting. Our kids will be so excited to hear that as well.
Well, we're excited to be able to share that video with you. But if you were to talk to other Vacation Bible School directors, what would your encouragement be if they're looking to do something to have a profound impact?
Well, I think you need to find a focus where you want. If you take an offering, where do you want them to go? And will that impact other kids? And will VBS continue after that you're done? And so start searching. I mean, Keys for Kids is a great ministry. And the videos that you have out there, like the one with the Muslim chief and how that story, the kids were just amazed. And they are, you know, just use those stories and find a way to help other kids, not just help the community now, but help others around the world, and the excitement that it brings to even the whole church. The unity it brought was incredible. Just the excitement was fantastic. So I just encourage anyone doing a VBS or taking up an offering Keys for Kids, or find a ministry that you can be excited about and raise those funds and be excited about what God's going to do, and keep praying about the ministry as well.
Well, we want to just thank you and your church for doing this for the kids. And it was so exciting to open that check and to know that kids were reaching kids and how excited they were about that. And it excited us. I don't know if you know or not, but we don't get a lot of mail from kids. I mean, they just don't write letters like they used to. And so to get that kind of encouragement, it was just amazing. And our partners are super excited as well. And they're going to be sharing the same story all the way around the world with the money that came in, that kids were actually supporting the work of what they're doing. And it's pretty amazing.
That's wonderful. And, you know, kids are called to be missionaries too, not just adults. So that's exciting. So
absolutely. In closing, Jackie, just tell me, what kind of impact do you think it will have on young people, these young people that were involved? Do you have any idea? I mean, you can only guess, I'm sure, but what are your hopes?
Well, my hopes is that they will see this ministry and be excited about it and continue to want to give. But I mean, where are these kids praying even right now for those souls to be touched in different parts of the world? And I'm just praying that their hearts will forever be changed. And if God calls them to do a Vacation Bible School and work with different ministries, that they'll look for ways to help others and that their life will forever be changed. And they're excited. I mean, literally, the excitement on these kids is just incredible, how they're given that to help others for Jesus. Just see excitement and that it stays with them forever. Maybe even God calls some of those to be missionaries and deliver them themselves, you know?
Indeed. So. Well, we're hoping for more churches just like yours to get excited about something like this. Can you imagine if, you know, we had 2,000 churches that were doing VBSs, investing into the hearts and lives of kids around the world? We literally would see masses come to Jesus. And we're hoping that you're an example of that. So thank you for thinking of us. We appreciate that.
Well, you're a blessing. Your ministry has affected my life and my kids' life. We've used it through our life. We use it, like I said, we use it at our church. And I'm always telling kids, even when I do chapels at my Christian school, you know, Keys for Kids is a great tool to be in God's Word every single day. In fact, I'll tell you a story. We have a young lady who's dyslexic. And 2 years ago, we did Keys for Kids. We do it every other year at our church. And so we did. I told about the audio. And her mom says she hasn't missed a day. And they listen to the audio on the way to school every single day and how it's helped her grow in the Lord Jesus and how she can do it on her own even. She says, I get blessed by Keys for Kids every day too. It's wonderful. So it's a great ministry. Thank you for all that you guys do.
Oh, we're grateful too. And just to tell you another story, that these units are actually going into the hands of adults. And because they're simple stories, adults in places like Afghanistan are coming to faith in Christ. And because of that, churches are being planted. And so that's what your kids have invested in. They're literally planting churches in Afghanistan of all places. So it's really cool. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for sharing your story and being willing to be on our Keys for Kids Connect podcast. It means a lot to us. And thank you so much for sharing with us. And hopefully you'll be an encouragement to many others to do the same.
Well, thank you so much for calling. It's a blessing to serve alongside you guys, and hopefully we can do it again.
That's Jackie Cripps, the VBS coordinator at Edwards Corners Bible Church in Marcellus, Michigan, on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Well, I'd like to thank our guests, the president of Mission Eurasia, Sergey Rakuba, the voice of Zach on Keys for Kids Radio and author of the book Flannel Graph Jesus, Phil Ayers, and Jackie Cripps, the VBS coordinator at Edwards Corners Bible Church in Marcellus, Michigan, for making the Keys for Kids Connect podcast possible this month. Remember, you can help raise the first $50,000 for devotional need in war-torn Ukraine. Just go to keysforkids.org/Ukraine. keysforkids.org/Ukraine. You can also go to our main page to subscribe to our print daily devotionals or download the app. You can also find links to Keys for Kids Radio and Parent Minute with yours truly. Thanks again for joining us on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, produced each month to help deepen relationships with those who pray, give, and champion our mission of igniting a passion for Christ in kids, teens, and families worldwide, ensuring that parents, friends, and donors stay informed, inspired, and engaged. I'm Greg Yoder.